Hey, hit me!
Are you ready for the deadliest news, issues, comments, and people? Well, on now is National Talk Black with Trendy Trev, going live from BBM through the National Indigenous Radio Service. Give us a call now, 1-800-422-416. National Talk Black with Trendy Trev.
Yes, a very good morning, you Delhi mob. Welcome back to your Delhi program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from Nakari. I'm coming to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji country, as BBA Bumblebee Media, 98.7 FM, and we go across the nation thanks to NIRS, National Indigenous Radio Service. Have you saying yarn up strong. All right, too, Delhi, going to catch up with Double K. We're talking Katie Kiss, who heads up the Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander Social Justice Commission. And, look, she's on tour in regard to National Listening Tour, and we're going to have a yarn with her and talk about the hat she wears and moving forward for our people in the 21st century as Black people, First Nation of this Delhi country. And a very good morning, Katie. How are you?
Good morning, Trev. How you going?
I'm well.
In Adelaide at the moment.
You're in Adelaide.
I'm doing good.
Fantastic. Well, thank you for coming to the program. Before we start, sister, let the mob know who your mob were you from, Katie?
So, Trevor, I live in Brisbane at the moment, but I grew up on the lands of the Darrumbal people in Rockhampton. I'm a Kanju Biri Widi woman. So my grandmother's country is Cowan, Central Cape York, Kanju people, and my grandfather's country is Biri Widi country between Collinsville and Nebo in the Bowen Basin. So that's where my people come from, grew up in Rockhampton, and now live on the lands of the Turrbal and Yuggera people in Brisbane.
Big shout out to all those tribal people. Fantastic. Katie, talk about the hat that you wear with the Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander Social Justice Commission.
Yeah, so on the 3rd of April, Trevor, I was appointed to the position of Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Social Justice Commissioner. Mm-hmm. I work for the Australian Human Rights Commission. I'm one of 8 commissioners in there, and we look at a whole range of areas of discrimination. So people might be familiar with the Racial Discrimination Act. Giri Sivaraman is the Race Discrimination Commissioner, for example. So we all work together to combat discrimination in the country and to provide guidance and awareness to the Australian population and the Australian government on what discrimination looks like and how to combat it and to make sure that Australia is compliant with its human rights obligations. My role in particular is a legislated statutory independent position, and my job is to monitor the exercise and enjoyment of human rights by First Nations people and report where that is not happening or where it is happening to government, and make sure that I'm working with our mob to feed that information up.
Well, we're talking about racism. We're talking about stamping it out across the board, whether it be in schools and workplaces, on the sporting field, what have you. But here we are in the 21st century. And look, racism is upon us, and it needs to be stamped out. And look, after the so-called referendum, which we didn't get a yes, this would be the next best thing. At least we're having communication from Black people. And then take this information in regard to, well, as we've said, the title here, Informing the Agenda. So you are now on the National Listening Tour, communicating with our mob. And look, it's open to whoever wants to be in the room, so to speak, but you are concentrating, focusing on talking to First Nation people, yes?
Yeah, Trev. I really wanted to make sure that as I started in my role, I enter the 5-year term that I have with information and the priorities that First Nations people see need to be addressed. So on the back of The Voice, where we don't have that mechanism to take those priorities up to government and have them addressed appropriately, I thought this is an opportunity for me to conduct a national listening tour, hear what those priorities are on the back of that referendum going down. Because, you know, things have, the goalposts have shifted again for our mob. So I wanted to make sure that I just had a re-look at what those priorities are, put them into some sort of strategy plan going forward for the next 5 years of my term, but making sure that that is informed by our mob and that I've set up those networks appropriately to take that agenda forward as well. And just on your introductory remarks to the Informing the Agenda tour and the effect of racism that's come as a result of the referendum, we know that that's markedly increased. You know, the numbers of calls that have gone through to YARN since the referendum, RA have seen an uptick. You know, people who are working in this space have recorded increases in the experience of racism by First Nations people since the referendum. I just want to give a shout out to my colleague, Giri Sivaraman. He's the Race Discrimination Commissioner, and he's in the process at the moment of formulating the National Anti-Racism Framework. And so he's been also consulting with First Nations people to make sure that their voices are heard in the development of that plan. So Gary and I work very closely together around that.
Look, fantastic. And we need a vehicle as such, and as you said, informing the agenda tour, and you are on the national listening tour in Adelaide at the moment. When did the tour start and how long are you running for, sister?
So we started on the 1st of August, and I put out a call for First Nations people to complete surveys.
Yes.
And then we also put a call out for submissions. So to date, I've had about 721 surveys started by First Nations people. So some didn't complete all of the survey, but we had feedback on 721 people. We had 27 submissions come in from our organisations, and while that doesn't sound like a lot, the content and the information provided by those organisations is just so deadly.
Of course it is.
And really sound content being provided. And then we kicked off the actual listening tour in Canberra last Friday.
Okay.
So in the only jurisdiction to deliver voice. So that was really something positive for us to be thinking about as we kicked off. So we started in Canberra last week and we had a really good yarn down there with the mob who turned up. And then we've moved from Canberra to Ceduna. We did Ceduna early this week, Port Augusta yesterday, and today we're in Adelaide. And so next week, the week after, we're up there with you in Cairns and heading over to Yarrabah.
Yarrabah, beautiful, fantastic. Priority for the next 5 years, that's what we're talking, having yarns with our mob, taking this information and guiding this ship into the future for the next 5 years is your term, five-year term. But it gives meat on the bone. And we're talking about truth-telling here, aren't we, Katie?
We are. And, Trev, I've identified, like, six high-level priorities to help fill you know, the agenda going forward as we go around the country.
Yes.
Truth-telling is one of those. But I see, you know, a lot of issues with access to justice. And where we think about justice, the only conversation we're hearing is from a deficit perspective of incarceration. And our people sitting in jail and in detention centres and laws that are being created to our detriment rather than to our benefit in terms of accessing justice. So I see that as an overarching priority area.
Yes.
I want to look at the Declaration on the Rights of Indigenous Peoples, which has now been adopted for 15 years by the Australian government and hasn't had any plan or focus around implementation. I want to look at the three pillars of the Uluru Statement from the Heart, truth, treaty and voice, and make sure that, you know, we are guiding our conversations by making sure that our people are engaged in those conversations, informing those agendas and taking them forward. And that includes a focus on truth-telling. It needs to be creating an understanding amongst Australians, because I think that was something that was really exposed in the referendum, that general Australians don't have an understanding of the history of this country or the impact on First Nations people. So when we're hearing conversations about the blackfellas get everything and, oh, this is more rights for Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people, they don't actually understand that we don't even have our basic human rights recognised at the moment. We can't even access basics.
Exactly.
So that's a key focus for me. And then, you know, we have mechanisms in place like the Closing the Gap Agreement that need those solid principle-based approaches underpinning them and reinforcing them as we go forward, as well as our land rights, and also making sure that we are healing from the destruction that's been caused amongst our people. So rebuilding our villages, putting our people back together and creating that care society that we once had very strongly that's underpinned by our cultural values.
Well, exactly. And when we talk about we are the first people, I mean, we're talking 60,000 years. And we're talking about here we are in the 21st century, and things don't change if things don't change. And it's the same old, same old. And we're talking about closing the gap. We sound like a broken record. But, Katie, it is what it is. And as you know, the big island, here we are, Australia, Australians embrace this culture. It is your culture, you know what I mean? But it's about, like, well, having the yarns, having the stories, and educating a vehicle that educates, but also, well, empowers our people as well. But the conversations need to be had, Katie.
Yes, I agree, Trevor, and I think it's about, you know, where the referendum promoted that the voice would result in disunity. Well, it has resulted in disunity, but that's because the voice isn't there and First Nations people aren't part of the conversation, and that continues to this day. We've been in this cycle for more than 200 years, It does need to change. Like you said, if things don't change, things don't change.
Mm.
We've been doing the same thing for 200
exactly.
years. We've been badging things differently but doing the same approach for more than 200 years, you know.
Yes, yes.
They used to take our children off our old people and put them in reserves and missions. That's just changed now to the child safety system. So our children are still being taken from us. They're being put in detention centres.
21st century stolen generation, you could say.
That's right. That's right. And it's completely unacceptable. Unacceptable that we have two young people who have taken their lives in youth detention centres under the care of the state, and we have had a 10-year-old child take their life in the care and protection of the state in out-of-home care.
Mm.
It is completely unacceptable in the 21st century that we have the suicide rates that we do, the incarceration rates that we do, the disadvantage and disempowerment that we do. And Aboriginal people and Torres Strait Islander people have human rights. We're entitled to exercise and enjoy those rights. And my job is to try to help make sure that that is being able to be realised.
To our Deadly listeners tuned in, this is our Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry with your Deadly program, National Talk Black, having a Deadly Yarn with the Commissioner, Katie Kiss, from the Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Social Justice Commission. She's on tour in regard to National Listening Tour, informing the agenda tour. Katie, with this information, as people come to the table with you and your team, as you arrive in different townships and cities and what have you, can people come online and talk to you as well? Or can they put their stories forward that way?
We'll be sending out the survey again as part of the listening tour, because I think once people have come and sat at the table and they go back and think about conversations we're having, their survey submissions will be much more detailed and informed. So we'll send that survey back out.
Yes.
In the particular locations where we're going, they are face-to-face consultation and engagement.
Okay.
So
okay.
people can either come to that session or later on in the piece, as we get further into the listening tour, we will set up some online webinars consultation possibilities online. So people might be able to join those later on down the track if they haven't been able to attend one of the local community events.
Lovely. And you've got a Facebook page or a web page where people can see where the tours are and how can see the
information will be shared on both the Australian Human Rights Commission website and also the Facebook social and the LinkedIn social pages for the Australian Human Rights Commission. I also have a LinkedIn page, Katie Kiss, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Social Justice Commissioner.
Cool.
So if you get onto those pages, we're sharing information out. So keep an eye out for those social media announcements on when we're coming into your location.
Lovely.
I apologise that for some, the information has come out very late in the piece. We hit the ground running, literally.
Okay.
One of your mob from up there, Shiloh Villaflor, has joined my team, and so she's only been in the role for 3 weeks.
Good
girl
there.
Hit the ground running to try and get us on the road. So we're out and about, but as we hit the ground a little bit more solidly, people will get much more notice as to where we're coming to, and hopefully we'll be able to fill those seats in those rooms because it's really important to hear people's voices.
Okay, we're talking National Listening Tour survey. We're talking yarning as well. So very important. So my sister, you're going to be living in our suitcases for the next couple of months. But enjoy that journey. Thank you for sharing. And, of course, love to be yarning with you once you get to Cairns and also catching up with you at Yarrabah as well. Be deadly, sis.
Thank you, my bella.
Well, all the best and thank you very much. Big shout out to your team. Scored well having Charlo on board. We will yarn soon, Commissioner. And you keep smiling. You take care. And we'll yarn soon, Katie.
Thanks for having me on the show and see you mob soon.
Take care, Dale. Bye-bye.
Okay, bye.
A deadly yarn, beautiful yarn. Katie Kiss, Commissioner, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander Social Justice Commission. She's on a five-year term and she's on tour, national listening tour in regard to the survey and informing the agenda tour is what it's called as well in Adelaide at the moment and started in Canberra on the 1st of October. So out and about. So a yarn priority for the next 5 years. So we're talking treaty, we're talking voice, we're talking face-to-face. Have your say, yarn up strong. Tell us how you really feel. Tell us your thoughts, your process in regard to the future and where we sit as First Nation people of this country leading into the future. I mean, what does their future look like? And governments and non-Indigenous Australians need to hear what we got to say. So very important. We didn't have a win in the referendum. That would have been a good vehicle in regard to communication and guiding government in regards to our people heading in the future. That didn't come about. So look, we used whatever vehicle we got. And now we got the Aboriginal Torres Strait Islander Social Justice Commissioner Commission with the Commissioner, Katie Kiss. So there it is, your mob. Have your saying yarn up strong. And you can do the same as well here on your daily program, National Talk Black, with Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I'm your host for your daily program, National Talk Black. We're live here at the First Station radio station here in Cairns on your dingy country. That's BBM Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. Yarn up strong, your mob. Too deadly.
Home right now while the mangoes are ripe. Frangipani is starting to bloom, and the blue bone is starting to bite. Hey mom, I can just taste your fish soup and rice. I'm coming back home to you. I like the pace of the city life. Soon I'll be dreaming in blue.
Lazy breeze blowing through your mind. Sky blue sea, catch your feet there anytime. Driving up the dusty red highway, I got this freedom flowing wind in my hair. Soaking up the wild desert country. All my worries are gone, I don't care.
Hey mom, I can just taste your fish soup and rice. I'm coming back home to you. Cut out the pace of the city life. Soon I'll be dreaming in blue. Soon I'll be dreaming in blue.
Yeah.
Soon I'll be dreaming in blue.
Very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev, Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns on Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumabrip Media, 98.7 FM. We go across the nation thanks to NERS, National News Radio Service. You can have your Sabre calls from that daily number, 1-800-422-416. Now, landmark study halves skin infections in remote Aboriginal kids. A large-scale Australian skin study has halved skin infections in Aboriginal children living in remote communities. Untreated skin infections can lead to life-threatening illnesses, including RHD, sepsis, and also kidney disease. The STOP, which is See, Treat and Prevent trial, followed 950 children from nine communities in WA's Kimberley region over 4 years, working with Aboriginal health organisations and community members to identify the best ways to reduce skin infections. Regular skin checks were found to be the single most powerful measure, including in reducing infectious rates. With that, I'm going to catch up with Yana, Professor Asia Bowen, research and STOP the trial lead, as well as Tracy McRae. Got them both online. Very good morning, ladies. How are we?
Good, thanks, Kaya.
Yep, thank you very much,
good
Kaya.
Morning.
Thank you. Good morning. Start with you, Professor Asia Bowen, researcher and STOP trial lead. So tell us about your input and the work that needs to be done, the work is being done, which is halving the skin infection in remote Aboriginal kids. That's a great win, yes?
Yeah, absolutely. We've known for probably about 10 years that remote living Aboriginal children have the highest rate of skin sores in the world, yes. Which is absolutely unacceptable in a first world country like Australia. And so knowing that information and knowing some of those downstream consequences you talked about, like the kidney disease, leaders in the Kimberley were really keen to do something about it. So it was a great opportunity to partner with the Kimberley Aboriginal Medical Service, the Nirrumbuk Environmental Health and Service, and the WA Country Health Services of the Kimberley to implement this trial, which took us a really long time to do.
Sure.
But we're delighted to get to the end of it and now be able to tell the world the results that we've already talked back to community about, to those leaders about, and now those results are published and we can share them more broadly with the rest of Australia as well.
Exactly. Well, it should be tempered across the country, should it not? And beginning is half done, which is fantastic. Tracy McRae, can you tell us the title, your title, and your input to the operation here, please?
Thank you. Yes, so I was PhD candidate on the STOP trial, and my work focused on the prevention element, working in two-way partnerships with cultural mentors, elders, and community members to build healthy skin knowledge together and co-design and develop healthy skin resources that included a hip-hop video and healthy skin booklets in local language and with artwork and connection to country.
Fantastic. Ladies, when you look at an operation as such, the old saying takes a community to raise a child, you know, so we're all in this together and we need to get it together in all facets, yes?
Absolutely. I think that's the core of the success features of the trial really are that dedication of the community members to work with us and to partner and to allow us to keep coming back and doing the skin checks and to yarn with so many different mob to find out what was going on, what it meant to them, and how we might continue to drive down the skin sore issues.
Sure, fantastic. And so are you working closely with our First Nation health organisations? Are they at the table, of course?
Yeah, so the Kimberley Aboriginal Medical Service is is the main ACHO in the Kimberley, and it's actually the banner organisation for about 8 member services that spread across the Kimberley region, but there's also has its hosts its clinics. So the Kimberley Aboriginal Medical Services, Nirrumbuk Environmental Health and Services, and the WA Country Health Services of the Kimberley all came together in partnership with the Kids Research Institute of Australia to lead the study. And so we were really privileged to have the CEOs of Nirrumbuk, Ray Christophers, and the CEO of CAMS, Vicky O'Donnell, as partners in the partnership steering group, and really to have that strong Aboriginal voice leading the work, contributing to pivots in direction and design. And they absolutely were critical in that clear message. It had to be more than a biomedical, like where we might just look at the treatment aspects, but prevention was key, and really wanted that to be a critical part. So that's why it was awesome having Tracy as a PhD student working on the health promotion aspects, and we had another PhD student, Stephanie Enkel, working on environmental health aspects. So we're looking forward to more of the results coming out in the next few months as well, which will inform, I think, community and what things they might like to choose to do to help drive down skin sores in their locations.
And we're not only talking WA, there's an opportunity here of, like I said, templating this across other territories and states as well. That would be the case, would it not?
Yeah, absolutely. And we have purposefully built a suite of resources that communities can use across Australia, and they were designed for the STOP trial and tested in the STOP trial, but have really informed something that we published at the end of last year, which was the National Healthy Skin Guideline. And so that is also jam-packed with a suite of resources about how to recognise skin infections, how to treat them, and with a strong focus on prevention as well. So using that same sort of design methodology came into the second version of the National Healthy Skin Guidelines as well. So there's lots of resources on the Kids Research Institute of Australia's website that people who are listening might want to go and check out. And very soon we're launching an app, which will also make it easy for anyone anywhere to get hold of the resources when you're on your phone.
Tracy, is there any way we can, people out there can witness the so-called videos and the promos that you've done?
Yeah, absolutely. Go for it, Trace.
The hip-hop video, it can be seen via the YouTube
link. YouTube, okay. Under what title?
It's called Hip Hop to Stop.
Hip Hop to Stop, I love it. Okay, bring it on. Fantastic. Hip Hop to Stop, so people can check that out. Check out the YouTube footage there. Ladies, thank you so very much. You're kicking goals here, which is fantastic. And as I said, our mob living in remote areas, sometimes living in third world standards, and this is the 21st century, it's got to stop, partner punt.
Absolutely. Couldn't agree more, Trevor. Thanks so much for having us. And, hopefully this kind of work will help for that investment case that's absolutely needed to make improvements to the housing and the housing requirements that for maintenance that are needed to really achieve healthy living. And I know Aboriginal mob are advocating constantly for that, and hopefully these results will lend some support to that further.
Professor Asia, thank you very much. Tracy, team effort, too deadly. Keep smiling, girls. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep in touch, okay?
Thanks so much.
Thanks, Trevor.
Thanks, ladies. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Deadly yarn. Beautiful yarn there with Tracy McRae and also Professor Asia Bowen, a researcher and STOP trial lead. So we're talking about landmark study, halves skin infections in remote Aboriginal kids. And it is a team effort and fantastic to see. Here we are in the 21st century and it's all got skin disease in remote areas like so. Not good. So a lot of work needs to be done. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. We're live here at the First Station radio station here in Cairns on Yidinji country. That's BBA and Bummer Brit Media, 98.7 FM. And go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Yarn up strong, your mob too deadly.
teach them, so they know now.
For our children, we all walk together to keep our children safe, strong, and connected to culture. Community organisations you trust are here to walk with you and can provide family wellbeing services for families and children of all ages. To find free and confidential support near you, search Family Wellbeing Services. Because when it comes to our children, we all walk together. Authorised by the Queensland Government, Brisbane.
Station sponsor.
What is greatness?
It's doing what makes you feel proud. What feels right for right now.
When you can study hands-on, all in, practical, professional,
personal. When you can learn local and give back to your community, you define your greatness. Find support of teachers who are there for you at TAFE Queensland.
Make great happen.
RTO 0275.
Station sponsor.
National Talk Black.
Yes, very good morning, you Daily Mob. Welcome back to your daily program, National Talk Black. It is I, Trevor Tim, Trendy Trev Murray from the Curry. I come to you live from First Nation Radio Station here in Cairns and Yidinji Country. That's BBM Bumbabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to News, National News Radio Service. Have you saying yarn up strong, you mob, too deadly. Right, I'm going to catch up a yarn now with Jason East. He's a Cairns quadriplegic brother. And he feels that, well, the situation has been neglected by the Queensland Department of Housing, DOH. So we're going to talk about this space and see where he's sitting and the rigmarole that he went through. This story made a Cairns Post here, a local newspaper, about the heading was "Steady Drip of Inaction." And quadriplegic frustrated by water pouring through ceiling. And we got Jason online. Jason, good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Brother, thank you for coming to the program. Before we start, brother, let the mob know who your mob were you from, Jace?
Hey, well, I'm Jason. I'm from up in the Torres Straits.
Okay. Which island up there, brother?
Me, I'll just say TI.
T.I., okay, brother. Too deadly. Well, thank you for coming to the program. Big shout out to the mob up there. T.I. got pumped up that way. Big Esau, and let's talk about your situation. Quadriplegic you are. You feel that you've been neglected by the Queensland Department of Housing. Tell us your situation regarding leakage, dripping, coming from the ceiling through electrical lights, and you in shower, using your toilet, and quadriplegic and frustrating. Tell us your story, brother. What went down?
Yeah, well, what I did is, report things when the things happen. And I had a leak in my bathroom. It started just a small drip, and reported that, and it just got worse. It started leaking more. I had a lot of water in the roof, and and coming to that, I got a little bit tingled. I got electrocuted in the process, and even then, after all that, somebody's come around and done electricity and, pulled the light out. But it didn't seem to be very urgent. I felt myself just the way the situation I was in. And because of being a wheelchair user, I need the space and, having water and electricity does not mix, I reckon.
Of course, exactly. So tell us from the get-go, so you had a leak. You made the phone call to housing. I mean, so you rent through Queensland Housing, is that right? Department of Housing?
Yes. Yep.
So you rang them to explain the situation? Yep. Tell us the...
Yeah, called maintenance to, to report any anything that damaged or it has to be repaired. And somebody's come out that day and had a look at it, but they couldn't do anything that day because of shops and they couldn't get equipment and stuff like that till the Monday.
And so what happened then? Yep.
Monday, somebody's come around and, done their repairs or whatever they needed to do.
And so was it repaired, Jason?
I thought it was. But then it started again and then it just got worse over time.
And you're sitting there still with leakage happening?
Yeah, going on just over 6 weeks of it. I was, and constantly ringing,
Did the leak increase? Or was it just dripping?
Yes, increased, it got worse.
Yes.
And then, my concern was because of the lighting and that in the ceiling, because that's where the water was coming from.
Well, the light was in a container, electrical container, see-through, of course, for the light. That was being filled up with water, wasn't it?
Yeah, well, that was the first one was, yes.
Yes. So how long are we talking? 6 weeks. Where are you at with it now, Jason?
Well, it's getting fixed now today. So this week, it's been, they've been dealing with it, so they're pretty much getting it fixed now. But it's taken a hard road. And a lot of phone calls, a lot of stress.
Of course.
And just didn't know where to go or who to talk to. I was starting to lose trust in everything in a way.
Was there any empathy or apologies or what was the communication like with the staff from Queensland Department of Housing?
Well, there's none of that. Pretty much not yet because it's it was an ongoing thing. It's just more you hear, oh, I'm so sorry to hear, especially when you try and address it and, let it. But I just wanted, at the end of the day, I just wanted somebody to come out and have a look to see what I was living in and what sort of condition I was living in. That's all I wanted, really, but nobody would come out.
Well, if you look at it, this made Cairns Post, so they did a story on you. Hence the title, Steady Drip of Inaction. And this was in the Cairns Post Wednesday, 23rd of October. Since it made the Cairns Post, was there urgency thereafter from the Queensland Department of Housing? You felt?
After that, yeah.
After yeah, that, thank you. That's happening. Right. Exactly.
Yeah.
And here we're yarning on radio, on national radio. You know, I mean, urgency, fix it, please, fix it, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, it got to the point where, well, the last straw was when my other, because I had two lights in there, they isolated one, which was okay, but the water was still dripping down that wire, coming down. And my concern was the second light, because it was only probably half a meter away from the other one. And it's just time. And I was like, okay, this is not good. Mm. So that's why, you know, pretty much every night I was having a shower, I was turning the main power on off in the house.
Of course, exactly. Quadriplegic, here you are in your wheelchair, going around the back there, turning the power off, going to have a shower, turn the power back on. I mean, hello.
Yeah. Yeah. And then, you know, using torches and that just to have a shower at night.
Yeah, gotcha.
You know, have it being electrocuted the first time, you don't want to get, you know, you don't want to happen a second time.
Hello.
And the thing is, with me being, you know, a person with quadriplegia, like to me, like with somebody, I could say it's a tingle, but see, all my sensation, and feeling that I have because of my feeling and that sensation is a lot different to, you know, somebody normal because it's compromised in a lot of different ways. That a tingle could be more than just a tingle.
Well, brother, if you look at it, you know, touch wood, and here you are still with us and good to be talking with you, but if something was to happen and you would have got electrocuted and it was fatal, it falls back on Queensland Department of Housing because they didn't act on it.
Yeah, well, you know that's what I was worried about the second time. First time was good enough, but the second time, I didn't want a second time.
Sure, exactly. So, does anyone live above you?
Yes.
Oh, so is there leakage from the unit upstairs then?
Yeah, well, it was coming through a shower recess or something. That's all I sort of know. I don't know the full things. All I know is the water was coming from a shower upstairs and it was just dripping through. So they knew and they were aware of it from pretty much day one. So they knew of it.
And they're tackling now, as we speak, they're in your unit now, fixing it.
They're in the place now, fixing it. Yeah, both units. They're fixing upstairs and my unit at the same time.
It's good to hear your story, brother. It's very sad that this has happened. You know, please do keep in touch. Communicate with us in regards to this, you know. The fact that you're quadriplegic and the fact you're an Indigenous person, that shouldn't matter anyway. But the fact you're paying rent in a house that's leaking, tenants, in this case, Queensland Department of Housing, should be fixing any leakage and virtually urgently, especially if there's a tingle coming through, water coming through the electricity, through the lights. Hello, it's very, very important. Well, it's good to be yarning with you. Thank you for sharing the story. Please do keep in touch, Jace, and keep your head up, brother, and partner punt, but keep your eye on that, and let us know how you go, especially if it's not rectified. Within a week, you know, the end of today, it should be all good tomorrow or this afternoon is what I'm thinking. But please give us a call back if it's not, brother.
Yeah, well, probably a couple of weeks. It's a bit of work to do. They've got to dry out the cement and everything else, the mould and all that. So there's a fair bit to sort of do, but I'll be happy to move back in when it's all fixed. But I just want a job done.
Sure, exactly. Get them done with. So you and I don't have to be having this yarn, Jace. That's what it's all about, brother. But please keep in touch, brother. Thinking of you. Thank you for your yarn. Stay strong, brother, and we'll yarn soon, eh?
No worries. That's all for that.
That's all. Yeah, well. Two Deadly. Beautiful yarn there, Jason East, and the situation that he's in. First Nation man, quadriplegic, and he's been neglected by Queensland Department of Housing. That was the statement in regard to the story that came out on Cairns Post back in 23rd of October, Wednesday 23rd. Steady Drip of Action was the title, and quadriplegic frustrated by water pouring through ceiling. Got a shot of the brother here. Got a smile on his dial, but then the other shots show his bathroom with all buckets everywhere and the picture of the light, the frame that holds the light, and a clear plastic frame it is with the it filled with water. So that's the situation he's in. But anyway, he's got people in there now fixing it, so it should be all good. But Yes, sad to hear his story, but good to hear his story in regard to shedding light on the situation. Pardon the puns. This is your daily program, National Talk Black. Have you saying yarn up strong? And we're live here at the First Nation radio station here in Cairns on your dingy country at BBM Bumrabrip Media, 98.7 FM. And we go across the nation thanks to NERS, National Radio Service. Yarn up strong, National Talk Black, too deadly.